Have you been blessed by what we've been learning in church so far? Have you been blessed so far? Let me tell you something. What you've been learning is an important aspect of the Christian faith. Are you with me? It's an important aspect of the Christian faith. It is something that if you don't know, and you, if you have not mastered, if you have not embraced, you cannot say you are a Christian. And we began on Wednesday. So we've been talking about consecration and radical devotion, being devoted to God. And we've been building our case from the first Sunday in August. What was the first teaching? What was the first teaching? Response. Glory to God. And then we had the next service, response re-emphasized, and then we began to talk about set apart. And then during the midweek service, this week that just heard, I was explaining to them specific revelation, general revelation, the evolution of theology, and that thing came through the window. And I said, stop first. Whereas God has been covering you out through and you did not even know. And even what they did was not sufficient. It was still God. You see it in Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says it was the Lord that made a cover of animal skin. So eventually, it is still God that had the perfect answer. Let me tell you something. If you are here and you are trying to run away from the true living God, you are doing yourself. At the end of your life, when you stand before God, when you stand before Jesus, you will discover two things. Jesus loved me, God loved me and cared about me, and I cheated myself. Please, are you with me? Are you with me? And you see, we have this same problem today. This is the reason. Let me tell you something. This is the major reason why many people still struggle to be devoted to God. When you tell people to pray, I remember those days when I was growing up in a Christian home, when we do something bad, my mother would say, or my uncle would say, go and read 5 chapters of the Bible, we'll be crying. You know why we are crying? Bible is boring. Oh, am I going to read Bible? Give us cartoon. When I got born again and began to enjoy Jesus, my mother would come and ask me, what is the problem? You've been praying all night. You've been reading your Bible. I've got joy. Joy. I found something. Are you with me? Please, are you with me? And whether you agree or not, though, men are actually hungry, looking for satisfaction. Men are looking for satisfaction. They are looking for rest. Men are looking for what only God can give in other things. Are you with me? Yes, sir. See, what we call religion, is man's invention to find rest in what he knows can only come from God alone. What's religion? On a basic level, religion is a man's practice of reaching God. And this is what separates Christianity from other religions. In other religions, they are telling you what you must do or what you can do to reach God. And you see, it doesn't even make logical sense. Imagine the God that created the heavens and the earth. Do you think you know what to do to reach him? But Christianity doesn't tell you what to do to reach God. It tells you what God has done to reach you. It tells you how God came and came after you and what you must do to respond to him. Are you with me? Are you with me? This is important too. Look at Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11. Give me Amplified Classic. Give me Amplified Classic. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, Amplified Classic. Let me read it while I'm waiting for media. It says, He has made everything beautiful and appropriate in his time. He has also planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart, a mysterious... Okay. My own says a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy. This one says a divinely implanted sense of a purpose walking through the ages which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. Say after me, but God alone. Praise the Lord. So, there is a divine longing in men for God, but God doesn't stop there. He doesn't leave us to just be longing. He has given a divine answer. And the divine answer is himself. Glory. Glory. Look at John chapter 4. Look at John chapter 4. You remember the story in John chapter 4 where Jesus met this woman by the well and he was telling her to give him a cup of water to drink, and she began to say, we Jews don't have any business with Samaritans. We Samaritans don't have any business with Jews and all of that. And Jesus said in verse 10, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him and he would have given you living water. You see what's going on here? Jesus pretended as though he's the one looking for water. That's what happens when he says, come and follow me. When he says, follow me, come and know me, come and worship me, come and serve me, come and do my bidding, come and walk with me. It seems as though Jesus is the one begging. When a pastor is telling you, come and be devoted to God, come and surrender your heart to God, it looks like Jesus is the one begging. It's like he's the one begging you. Are you with me? When they are sharing tracts on the road saying, come to church, it seems like it's the pastor begging, saying, come. They say, church in our business. They just want money. Well, that's what it looks like. So Jesus was the one that came and said, give me to drink. And the woman was like, you don't even have anything to draw with. You don't know that we Samaritans don't have any business with the Jews. And Jesus looked at her and said, Kai. You know what's the people say? Now because I did beg you. Jesus looked at her and said, if you know the gift of God and who it is that is asking you, it is you that would have asked me and he would have given you living water. And then she was now saying, which living water? Where are you talking about living water from? You don't even have any well. Can you produce a water that is better than this one that our fathers have given us? Then look at Jesus' response. God bless you, sir. Look at this response. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Hey! Whosoever drinks of this water will be thirsty again. This is the explanation of the world, though. You know, I was talking to the pastors. I said, who remembers 3310? Nokia 3310. I remember when do you know there was a time in this country when GSM came out, or when mobile phones came out, when you buy a phone, see, let me give you perspective. I know some Gen Z's cannot relate. No, I don't mean it in a derogatory way. If you pass a big man's house, most times you see those big men with landlines, very big ones in their hand like this. Hello, have my containers arrived? And oh my God. It was a in thing that time. Those big landlines, white like this. Then they hit it, bang, bang. They do, bang, bang. Then Nokia 3310 came out. I remember when somebody gave to my mother that phone. It comes in a big box like this. Come and see us dancing in the house. They put it on with that green light. One color. Then I remember playing computer game on it, building blocks. Hey God. If you are with Nokia 3310, you have made it. Then, after that, Motorola came out. My God. Then after that, BlackBerry. You know, Sony Ericsson. No, leave all those ones. Let's scroll fast. BlackBerry. You will see a person with BlackBerry Messenger. That was where love was happening. BBM. When you have that one, see, let me do a test. Do you know that feeling when you get something, you're like, hey, when you're unboxing an iPhone, hey, finally. But not too long ago, BlackBerry. If you see somebody with BlackBerry now, you will be pitying the person. Because whosoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whosoever drinks of this water will thirst again. What do you want to talk about? Oh, you are shaking when they buy pizza. Let's just shake this pizza. Cry, man. After you finish eating it, in the next 3 days, it's gone. Whosoever drinks of this water will thirst again. You will need to go and buy another one. Are you with me? The phone, you need to buy another one. I remember then, there was a time in Nigeria, the official government car was Peugeot. 504. I remember, in Port Harcourt here, they will be coming in convoy. You will see like 6 to 7 504. Wow, wow. I want to mention a car name that, if you know that car name here, you are an Idon. You are a Oga who knows Citroen cars. Mr. Jai, you're supposed to know. Mr. Science, you know Citroen. Some people have no idea what's that. I don't know what you're talking about, please. Citroen. Don't drive a Citroen now. If you drive Citroen on the road, they should be calling you Ancient of Days. But you see, whosoever drinks of this water will thirst again. No matter how great that movie is, after 1 week, you want a better one. No matter when was Achalugo raining, it has come and gone. But see what Jesus says. Go on. Verse 14. He says, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Now, look at the way Amplified puts it. But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I shall give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him, into and for eternal life. Glory! Glory! See, what we are saying is when you receive Jesus, he constructs a well inside of you. You don't need to upgrade Jesus again. You don't need to go and buy Jesus again. Are you with me? Whenever you are feeling dry and thirsty, you can drink from the well within you forever. Forever and ever, there is a well of satisfaction, of joy within you that you can drink from. Glory! If you don't understand this, you are not a Christian. Are you with me? Jesus is our eternal rest. That when you come into him, you have come into your final Kai. Praise the Lord. Let me show you some text in the Old Testament. Look at Psalm 17 verse 15. This is David speaking. He says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I thought you would say amen. Amen. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Amen. Look at Psalm 36 verse 7 to 9. You know, I'm just reading these texts. They are just sweet. Psalm 36 from verse 7 to 9. Psalm 36 from verse 7 to 9. Psalm 36 from verse 7 to 9. It says, how excellent is thy loving kindness. You give me King James. Oh God, therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Everybody read verse 8. Read verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house,
and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. You are not shout. Read this thing and rejoice properly. 1, 2, 3, go. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures.
I want to ask you, have you really enjoyed God? Are you enjoying God? If you have not started enjoying God, you need to start. And the first way to start is to open up your heart and say, I want to experience God for all that God offers. I am telling you, when you step into that river, see, let me tell you why I'm actually doing this teaching, why we are emphasizing this across all our churches. I have come to discover, please listen to me. If you are not part of those really enjoying God, there are two things that is going wrong in your life. Number one, it is either you have not been properly saved, or number two, you are not growing spiritually. Like we're going to see during the midweek service, one of the things that propels enjoyment in God is growing up spiritually, growing up in Him. And I want to tell you, the best of God are for those who are growing up in Him. The best of God. There are some testimonies that we share. They will look like film. They will look like, it will look like I'm making up something. But the best of God are for those enjoying God. You know, I showed a text on, was it this Wednesday or 2 Wednesdays ago? When the Bible says, you ask and you receive not because you want to spend it upon your lust. Do you know what that means? God gauges you. When you come to ask God for something, God looks at what is that thing that you really enjoy. God looks at how passionate are you towards Him. When the Bible says in James chapter 4 that friendship with the world is enmity against God. Do you know what that means? You know what? Let's look at it. James chapter 4 from verse 4, where he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, don't be bored. Look at James 4 from verse 3. Kai, everybody, let us read. 1, 2, 3, go. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Now, when you look at this, it may look like God is not really interested in people enjoying. He just wants them to act only for His will. But study the context closely. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Pause. Who is an adulterer? Who is an adulteress? It is somebody in a married relationship, in a marriage or in a love affair with someone, yet you are paying attention to someone who is not your partner. God forbid, a man who is married and has a wife, yet he has what they call a side chick. The only side chick you have is the one on your face. Clock it. The only side chick you have, tell a brother close to you, the only side chick you have is the one on your face. You have a wife, but there is one girl that you are calling my chiquito. There is problem. You are a can of worms, a den of curses heading for destruction. But why is this using that term here? Or a lady, you say you have a husband, but you have one brother, one guy in the office that you say is office husband. You people are lunching together. You are scunching. You will take brunch, lunch, scunch. Every time people just go out, hey, but you have a husband. You will call you, because you have a child. His name is Emeka, Papa Emeka. But when you reach up, it's my darling. You are such a dad. You are an adulteress. Everybody is quiet. Say, Pastor, you are finding trouble. Yes. So, but why is God using that term here? Why is God using that term? Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Because it is possible for someone to say, I believe in Jesus. You know, the Bible says that Christ is the groom and we are the bride. Please, are you with me? Don't be distracted. It is possible for someone to believe in Jesus but loves the world. It is possible for somebody to say, I believe in Jesus, I know Jesus, I want to walk with God, yet you are so invested in worldly things. Your passion, your satisfaction, your pleasure is in the things of the world. He says, God says, for those kind of people, you are an adulterer. You are a spiritual adulterer. Please, are you with me? You are a spiritual adulteress. You will see a sister. When you are in church and they are doing praise and worship, and people are worshiping God and they are crying, they say, why are you doing too much? She's just there. Praising the Lord always. Praising the Lord. Sister, say, no, me, I don't overdo things. I just have my steeds. In church, when they say, lift up your hands, rejoice, shout glory. The person is just, take her to a place and say, please choose like 5 weeks. Oh my God, are you serious? Do you mean it? Like, you mean it. Like, I should take weeks. Hey, she's excited. When she sees people praying and they are just putting their all, it's not too much. By the time they start, they raise one worldly song. You all wake up. The Bible says that person is a spiritual adulteress or an adulterer. The man that is shouting, a sinner, God. Shouts glory now. Must we shout? It's not that, must we shout? The problem is not about passion. The problem is about priority. Just imagine you are a lady. Your husband, anytime he's talking to you, I'm going to give you money for food. Do this one. Then he never laughs with you. He doesn't joke with you. But every evening you just see him somewhere. How are you doing now? Hey, I know I really miss you. At the point, the lady say, come, wait. Who are you really missing? And I'm standing here. Who is that person? Who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? That's how God feels when he's looking at you. You say you are his child. You don't enjoy. Are you with me? You have not opened up your heart to set your affections on things above, but on worldly things. You just wake up. You know all the Nollywood actors. You know all the, oh God, you see, I know more Bible than, I'm trying to remember some things, but. You know all those funny, those movie sites on YouTube, all of them. You just stay there and say, this boy is a very foolish boy. God, let me just enjoy myself. But you don't stay to just enjoy the world. There is something wrong. There is something wrong. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I'm not any sound from this side. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This is important. This is important. Now, go back. James 4. I think we start at verse 4, right? He says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. This is a serious statement. So he's saying, even though you are a born-again child of God, you can be God's enemy. And how will you become his enemy? When you have allowed yourself to be carried away in friendship with the world, and you are now an enemy of God. So what will happen is that you will not ask and you will receive not. Are you getting what I'm saying? You will ask and you will receive not, because God knows. You know, like the example I gave in Abuja, I said, God forbid, all these examples, God forbid, it will not happen in your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Imagine you are a guy, you are dating a lady, but you now find out that this lady has another guy who she really likes. And that's the person that you see her more passionate about. When you send her money, she'll use the money and go and buy clothes for him. No, you see this love matter. I've been a pastor for 7 years. I have seen very, very confusing things. As it stands now, when people come to our marriage counseling table, we'll ask you, are you sure? Have you chosen? We ask you that question like almost 500 times. Because we have seen cases. A brother comes and says, I want to marry this girl. That brother, same brother, he's at the back. Totally, you know, I like you. You know? From where to where? That's what we tell our singles. Before you say yes, confess. Sit down. Two of you, sit down. Sit down. So now, imagine you are a guy. This is your girl. You give her money. You give her 50K. She will carry 20K and go and give that guy. When you find out, the next time she asks you for money, will you give her? No. You say, I know. When I give you the money, you will go and give it to the real guy. So when God, when you are saying, God, I want you to do this for me. God, I want you. God says, am I the real guy? That's what God is saying there. Am I the real guy? But when God discovers that he is the real guy in your life, sometimes you will not need to ask. You'll be seeing things. Yeah. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
This is serious. So this, what I'm saying is serious. God bless you. There are some statements I cannot say out. Let me try one. God has never allowed me to buy a car. I have never bought a car for myself. Not once. For myself, never. First of all, I first heard it from my father in the Lord. He told me, David, just serve God. God will take care of you. I said, I believe. He said every single time he wanted to buy a car, when it was pressing, many of you know, the last SUV I had an accident. And so a time came, Pastor David, lead steward of New Breed. I was using bike to take my daughter to school. One day on the bike like this, someone just said, man of God. I said, you are blessed. You are blessed. Leave me. I'm doing my fatherly duty. I'm carrying my daughter to school. And for me, adolescent, my child must go to school. I will take her to school. If it means to carry her on my head and we will trek, it's fine. But then, the day I was dedicating my second child, I saw another one parked in front of the church. Say, ah, Pastor, how did it happen? God spoke to one of our leaders, and our leader spoke to another leader, say, actually, God has been telling us this thing. Listen, we need to. Let me tell you, that's the real, let me tell you the honest truth. People that say, why am I even debating into this? People that really say that pastors steal church money. Are there pastors that steal? Yes, and God will judge them. Because that's people's offering to God. Are you with me? That's people's like loyalty and love for the spread of the gospel. But let me tell you, many of the pastors that you see doing well, it's not really that they are taking church offering. No. It is people who God has blessed, and God is using those people who he has blessed to bless the pastor. That's how I've lived. When I resigned from the oil industry, I was working in an oil and gas servicing company in this state. When the time I left the oil and gas, let me explain to you. As at when I left the industry, I was a well test specialist. So only anybody that knows Mr. Sands, you know what I'm talking about. I was a well test engineer. Meaning, you will bring me to a place, maybe an EPF, a flow station. I know what to do to test your wells. I had two jobs outside the country, in Saudi Arabia and in Qatar. So, when I was telling you about wisdom, learning to read, I know what I'm saying. God said, resign and enter ministry. You don't understand. The job I was going to take outside the country, my salary every month was $3,000 in 2019. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But since then till today, I have not done one secular job, not one. How has God blessed me? How have I lived? It is people who God blessed. Say, Pastor, God said I should give you this. God said I should. You know why I'm saying it? Let me just tell you why. Some of you say he wants to manipulate us. I'm telling you why. God has shown me he's about to promote many of you. Yeah. So when he promotes you, remember me in your kingdom. But by the way, I'm just trying to explain to you. And let me tell you, I've even seen times when God has gone beyond even what I even. There was a day I had a strong money need, and typical David, I don't call anybody. I don't call people to say, oh, I don't do those things. Say, Pastor, no, you're man of God. No, I don't call anybody. I will go and pray. I went to pray. Somebody called me. To tell you that it was God, it was also another pastor. He's not my friend. I don't really relate with him. A pastor in this city, in this Port Harcourt, he called me. He said, Pastor David, I went to look for your number because I had a dream about you. The age difference between me and that man, if it should be more than 15 years. He's older than me with like 15 years. So he's not a small person. He said, I had a dream about you. God showed me that I must give you money. As I said, if I tell you some things, you'll be afraid. I must give you money. I must. I've seen cases, people will say, even people abroad, I was in a dream, I saw you praying for me, and the Lord told me, go on. All kinds of things. That's how. Will you be God's friend?
Yes, sir.
Will you be God's friend?
Yes, sir.
Will you really open up your heart to enjoy God? You know, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And now, this is the part I need to be careful about. Sometimes, when we talk about enjoying God, some people want to enjoy God so that they can use God. It looks like they are trying to do a trade and barter system. Okay, Lord, I will delight myself in you. Then you will now bless me. If I do, and you know do, I go pull out. Are you with me? That's what they think we are saying. No! That's not what we are saying. What we are saying is that you genuinely enjoy God and God genuinely blesses you. Imagine as a husband, you discover your wife married you only because you can provide. How would you feel? I was watching one show online and a lady came and said, what she was saying, what should you do if you are falling in love with your ex because your husband no longer provides? The worldly, who knows that, who watched that show? The worldly guys on the stage said, I regret that somebody ever married you. So even worldly people know that you should not just follow me for what I can give. Even secular people know that you should not just follow me for what I can do. So don't just serve God or don't just delight yourself in God because of what he can do or what he can give. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
When you see a man saying, does she really love me for who I am? Does she really like me for... Then you know that he's trying to ask something. This is also a word for our sister. So, do you know that? This is not a relationship class, but I think God is moving me to say something. Ladies, if you're in a relationship or if you are married, every week, tell your husband at least twice, I love you. I want you to know that I really love you. Many people think that men who don't want to hear that. That there's only the wife, only the women that want to hear, oh, I love you, that the ones who are mushy. It's a lie. A man, let me tell you, most men are burnt out. Most fathers are burnt out. Most husbands are burnt out. After a while, they fall into the place where all they do is, you want school fees, Abi? Take. You want to take. I've sent it now. That's why you will now see your father every evening. You'll be standing in front of your house and chewing the stick. Because he has gotten to the point where his whole life is all about take. Daddy wants school fees, take. Daddy wants this one, take. Everything, take. He may not move on, but the day his daughter comes and says, Daddy, I love you. Or his wife says, I want you to know that beyond all you do, I love you for who you are. I love you for the kind of heart and the kind of man that you have become for us. You have won him all. I just told you something. Not every time. Are you not seeing how this other person? Are you not seeing how your... Are you not seeing how? Then the man will say, can't you see the one I did? Everywhere is quiet. Because I hit on the spot. But boing. Shouts glory. Today now, today, this service, you go collect. Praise the Lord. So Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now,
Put that text on the screen. I want to show you something.
Thank you, Lord. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, everybody read verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Wait. I thought he just said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why the next one? He's telling you that it is true that God gives rest. But if you will really receive the rest that God gives, you must learn of him. Are you with me? It is true that God can bless. This is where the church usually misses it. We just tell people, come unto God, he will bless you. But they don't tell them about the fact that you must have a relationship with God. I have discovered, if I go to the road now and say I want to pray for anybody, people are willing to receive prayer. But if I tell them I want to tell you about Jesus, they don't want. What they don't realize is that it is true you want God to move in your life, but God really wants a relationship with you first. God wants a relationship. Can you tell your neighbor, God wants a relationship? Tell your neighbor, God wants a relationship. God wants an enjoyable relationship. So what are the marks of a man who is satisfied in Christ? The marks of the consecrated man who is satisfied in God. Number one, Jesus' joy. Ha. You did not shout that glory well. Shout glory. So number one, Jesus' joy. What do we mean by Jesus' joy? It means that Jesus is the source of his greatest joy, his greatest satisfaction, and his greatest pleasure. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1 to 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above. Set your affections on things above. If ye be risen with Christ, where Christ is at the right hand of God, set your affections. Meaning, you can't put your affections there. You can't put your affections. And let me tell you, affection is discernible. When you say, oh, my spirit worship, you cannot be saying my spirit worship your maker. And you are just, oh, my spirit. How can you, your spirit be worshiping when your hand is like this? Your hand never move, now your spirit go move. That same person, the same person that is struggling to release himself to God, when they are in the office and they are playing that wonderful song, he will open his mouth. He don't cast. He don't cast. He don't cast. That same person. When the bear do the entire body. Before you know, you will start. So I wonder how the pastor know all these things. Don't worry. Say, I can feel the beat. 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 But the Jesus that saved your soul, the Jesus that gave you eternal life, that when you believe in him, your sins are forgiven. And when you walk with him, he will lead you by his spirit. You are just acting, no. Your affection must be discernible. Your affection must be discernible. As a married man or as a guy in a relationship, today, I don't know who is doing me this thing. When you come back from work and you ask your wife, how are you? I'm fine. Have you eaten? I'm fine. Is everything okay? I'm fine. When a woman is giving you one line answer, know that everything she's telling you is the opposite. This one now, brothers, be sensitive. Don't say, but you said I'm fine now. No, there is a fine that is not fine. Are you okay? I'm okay. You know when she tells you something, she'll give you back. Have you eaten? I've eaten. Did you sleep well? I slept well. Ah. When she's excited, have you eaten? Yes, so I ate rice. I fried plantain. When she's adding extra gist, you know that, you know, that thing she's doing is a display of passion. Is a display of interest. Are you with me? Set your affections on things above. So when we say, shout glory!
Glory!
Some of you are still looking at me. Shout glory!
Glory!
When they say worship you, there is a way you do it. Let me tell you, if people have not criticized your devotion, you may not have it. You know what I'm saying? You look at David in Psalm 122. He says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. Jesus' joy. Say after me, Jesus' joy.
Glory.
Who can feel some joy? Feel some joy. Let me know that you can feel it. For the one who saved you, the one who gave you his spirit, the one who has delivered you from darkness, what kind of joy will you show to him? Hey! Hey! You know, the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you know what that means? It means no matter what wants to happen, I have a living hope. I have a hope. There is glory for me in this world. There is glory for me in heaven. Because Christ lives in me. Are you with me? This is important. You must learn it. You must learn it. Christ is, say after me, Christ is the source of my joy.
Christ is the source of my joy.
Shout glory.
Please be seated.
When you see, don't worry, you will still shout and jump a lot. The next one we are going to read, Romans 14 verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Oh, but the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Some of you here, you're looking at me. I said joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. Eh? Let me tell you. This is not just something to psych you up. Oh. This is something to live by. Do you understand that the apostles were beaten and they were rejoicing that they had the privilege of beating for Christ's sake? Do you understand that? Do you understand that? I remember one day when Dangote came to Port Harcourt, he passed Peter Audley Road. His driver mistakenly hit somebody. So Dangote came down and told him, we'll take care of you. We'll say to you. Somebody said, why they not jam me? And I said, why they not jam me? They're supposed to jam me now. Why they not jam me? I cannot forget. Dangote came down, soldiers everywhere. He said, don't worry, we'll take care of you. And that person started shouting, why they no jam me? Why they no jam me? And you went to preach and somebody insulted you for Jesus. Rejoice. Rejoice. Dangote is a man. Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is Lord of Lords. So if I suffer anything for him, don't worry. He will compensate me. He will compensate me. Hey! Say after me, Jesus' joy.
Jesus' joy.
Please be seated. That day, the way I laughed. So you will see, you girls and guys were crying. Even men said, they for jam me now. They for jam me. Oh my God. Say after me, I've got joy. See. When Christ is in you, no matter what you face, you know, I have something. Oh, I have something. Look at Psalm 16, verse 11. He says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Now, he's not saying that you will not experience joy when you watch a movie. He's not saying that you don't experience joy when you buy shawarma. He's not saying you don't experience joy when you begin a new relationship. He's not saying that. He's saying you will get joy in all those things, but there is a fullness of joy.
There is a joy that surpasses other joys. Are you with me?
This is a mark that this man has found satisfaction in Christ. And let me tell you something here. This is the best way to live. When you begin to live from this satisfaction, you don't allow anything to disturb you. And that takes me to the next thing. To the second thing. A man that has become satisfied in Christ, he will trust God. Say after me, trust. He trusts the wisdom of God even when it doesn't make sense logically. Ah, my God. When the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. Philippians 4 from verse 6 to 7. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds. The Bible means it. So you trust God. Can you say after me, I trust God. Instead of worrying, you pray. Prayer does not look like it has any logical sense. So let me tell you the truth. Prayer does not look like there is a logical sense to it. Okay, why not worry about it? It makes more sense to worry. It looks counterintuitive to worry. But the Bible says, don't be anxious. Don't be careful for anything. Instead, pray. But everything in prayer by supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So, the man who is satisfied in Christ or in God is the man who trusts the wisdom of God when it doesn't make sense logically. Look at the Matthew chapter 11 from verse 28 to 30 we read. He says, take my yoke upon thee and learn of me. It doesn't look like it makes sense. Pastor, I am going through a tough time. You are telling me to come and learn Jesus. Pastor, tell me better thing now. I'm telling you there is wahala. You are telling me to come and learn about Jesus. The man who is satisfied in Christ knows that he will trust God more. I will put my problems to one side and face God. Are you with me? You know the story I used to explain this? Lot and his wife. They told Lot and his wife, come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to be destroyed. And now, Lot and his wife had to leave the city that they have built all their businesses, all their establishments, all their empire, everything. And now they were going. All their jewelries, eh? Mrs. Lot. Oh. They said, don't look back. He said, oh, ma'am. But you forgot that there are people that are still there that are going to die. Oh, my God. Let me use somebody to describe what I want to describe. Come. You need to remember, the God that brought me and my husband out of Sodom and Gomorrah and did not allow us to be destroyed there must have a plan for me in the future. It's called trust. Even when it does not make sense logically. So if he tells me not to look back, I must believe in him. I must be going forward. Are you with me? I must believe in him. When he says don't look back at the world, I must trust him. Because I am satisfied. The one that can save me from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah can preserve a future for me. He has a plan for me. Even when I don't understand it, he has a plan for me. When I'm asking God, what's my future all about? Don't worry, he has a plan for me. See, are you with me? I may not know what my future holds, but I know the one who holds the future. Are you with me? You are blessed. This is God's word for some of you. Stop looking back. Stop regretting. Stop crying every day. If I did that business 11 years ago, if I did not lose that money 15 years ago, what of that relationship I lost with that big man 20 years ago, maybe my life would have been like that. Don't look back. Don't look back. Go forward. Go forward. The one who has brought you out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he has a future in front of you. That is how a man who is satisfied in Christ talks. That's how a man who is satisfied in Christ believes. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. See, I need to also say this here. I know today is long, but you don't see me every time. Praise God. I need to say this here. A man who is satisfied in Christ, still under trust, he doesn't seek to fix his life at the expense of God. He does not seek to fix his life at the expense of God. He does not say, God is too slow, I will go babalawo. He does not say, God is too slow, I will go do blood money. He does not say, God is too slow, I will do Yahoo. No, I love God. I trust him. God,
Wherever God cannot take me, may I never go. Wherever Jesus cannot take me.
You know, somebody was, I saw something online. A pastor in Ondo State abandoned Christianity and became a babalawo. You were never a pastor. You were never a Christian.
Yes,
see, God knows my heart. Whether or not I blow, I will never leave him alone.
Yes,
are you with me?
Yes,
whether you say Pastor David did not blow, that's your own cup of coffee without tea. Does that make sense? I don't think so. Whatever you want to say, as long as I love Jesus, I will not seek to fix my life at the expense of God. Are you with me? The blow never come. I beg, enter runs gate. No! Are you what I'm saying? I will not seek to fix my life. Say after me, I will not seek to fix my life. I don't want to look at your faces. I want you to say it. I will not seek to fix my life at the expense of God. Glory. And finally, the man who is satisfied in Christ. Christ is his first response in times of crisis. Christ is his first response in times of crisis. Because you see, the child of God is not fighting to get rest. He's fighting from rest. He's not fighting for rest. He's fighting from rest. Remember, we said that when God created Adam on the sixth day, the seventh day was the day of Sabbath. The Bible says that God rested. So, the very first day Adam woke up, the first day of man was God's day of rest. It was as though God was trying to say, you will begin your life by first of all resting in me. Can you tell your neighbor, rest?
Rest.
Tell somebody beside you, behind you, in front of you, rest.
Rest.
It is true. Some of you, that word is even maybe a direct prophetic word. You too like walk. You too like walk. Rest. It is true. Adam, you are going to take care of the garden. Adam, you are going to till the ground. Adam, you are going to rule over my creation, but you will begin by resting in me first. So the first day of Adam was the day of God's rest. So whenever challenges are coming, never allow yourself get to a point where challenges so disturb you. There's a way I see some of you. You are heading for a bad end. You allow something disturb you. When will I get married now? Before you know, you begin to have funny ideas. Rest. Lord, I believe you. Lord, I trust you. Rest. If I tell you some of the things we have to confront as a ministry, if I tell you some of you, you may not sleep well. I'm telling you. The bills to pay. Sometimes I check my biological age. I'm like, God, the things I've had to. I used to tell people, whatever you think my age is, it's not the correct figure. What is not the correct figure? My real age, only God knows. Because what? The one going on now in Abuja, they are just demolishing churches. They came to meet us and say, people are using a park and garden, which is a good space. But start looking for land. We went to find land. Hey, you hear the price of land. You'll be wondering, excuse me, what's going on here? Any problem? Are we okay? They said, that land, $2 billion. And a minute. I thought you would say it's bread for us. The first time New Breed had to pay rent of 20 million, I thought it was a joke. The place we are talking about, divide this place into four. Everybody is quiet. So put yourself in my shoes. You are doing this, you are believing God for this for five branches. If you're not careful, I'm a young minister. I know what it is when young ministers come to me and they are crying. Pastor. And I will tell you, with God, all things are possible.
With God, all things are possible. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. God is my first answer in times of crisis. Nothing can I thought you would say this after me. Nothing can weigh me down. There is a giant inside of me. Jesus lives on my inside. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The world and all that dare therein. Oh, this man does not want to sign my paper. God is bigger than him. This man does not want to give me my contract. God is bigger than him. Are you with me? Where we are using in Wuse in Abuja, where we are using? They told us, no, you can't pay. To be honest, before that time, the biggest rent we have ever paid as a ministry was 6 million. Where we are using currently in Abuja, the biggest rent we have ever paid before that time was 6 million. When they told us the price, they told us 23 million. We said, Jesus. We said, let's go and find somewhere smaller. The smaller places, I'm talking about just these pulpits. They will tell us 18 million. I'm like, me? I have never seen so million, not even in the church account. I've not even seen 10 million in the church account. How is this thing going to happen? But I remembered, it is bread for us. Oh, it is bread for us. It is bread for us. He says, when I sent you without purse or script, lacked ye nothing. I say, I believe God. He said, announcing partnership. Partner. See, let me tell you, if you are not giving to the work of the Lord in New Breed, you need to do better. God. I told my wife, oh yeah, bring out our savings. Oh yeah, bring out. Oh yeah, let's start gathering. We gathered for 4 months. Everybody partnered. Left, right, front, center, back. If you turn me upside down, shake everywhere. 18 million. We went and met people and said, please, can we deposit 18? Then we come back and pay this remaining 5. We went to talk to the chairman. He said, no, you must bring the money complete. He said, you don't know where we are. This is FCTO. Don't play. Ha! I said, Jesus. The place we were, Silver Bed, they have come to tell us, you know what even happened? We didn't even want to leave the place. They came to increase our rent from 6 million a year to 1 million per service. You don't know. When I'm telling you, if you don't know what we see, yeah. When I'm saying believe God, when I'm preaching, you will listen to me. We were paying 6 million a year. You were part of the, you knew what was going on now. They increased our rent from 6 million a year to 1 million per service. That is, from paying 6 million in 1 year, we are going to pay 104 million a year. Ha! They said if we don't move out before July 7th, they will lock our things, lock the place, take us to court. I said, what is the problem? Mr. Bala, what is the problem? I told Pastor Kine, go and talk to them. What is the problem? Oh, you think we don't have lawyers too? We looked at the thing. Said instead of spending money on legal battle, pull out. One day I got angry and said, pack all our things. Leave this place. Everybody, leave this place. 1 week to go. I said, we are packing our things out of this place. We began to pray. In 1 week, God completed the money. Pray, hold God. Don't allow worry destroy your life. I better believe God that it did not happen than to allow anything weigh me down. Jump on your feet. Can you raise your hands and say after me, Jesus! I want you to say with a loud voice, Jesus, you are my joy. Jesus, you are my joy. Now rejoice like you mean what you just said. Now say after me, I can never be defeated. I can never fail. I can never be stopped. I am connected to the King, carrying the life of God. Carrying the life of Christ. I rejoice in Him. He is my joy. He is my satisfaction. He is my pleasure. I delight in Jesus. Glory.